You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast, the last live broadcast of September. It is September 28th, and here we are in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to our AM, FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, libertynewsradio.com, libertyroundtable.com, you name it, a lot of sources out there. So many ways to listen, live, Link, Roku player. We're expanding, we're metastasizing, and we're taking care of business even during the commercial break. I was up in the green room with our guest of the evening, Courtney from Alabama, our esteemed guest, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller received a call from a producer of a television program that I will be appearing on, or at least going to film my part, on the 2nd of October. I'll be traveling. And so we'll have a pretty good story for you next week. So we're taking care of business on the air and in between commercial breaks here tonight. I'm James Edwards, Eddie Miller. You heard from Keith Alexander, albeit briefly during the first hour. The main event, though, now. Our a true lady, a Southern Belle, a debutante. I think that's the word we would use, the adjective. The debutante, Courtney from Alabama. All of her fans on the blog tonight tuned in, listening intently, and we're going to talk about something I think that perhaps we've never talked before, something that comes with a bit of a feminine touch, a story. We covered at least half of what I wanted to cover tonight during the first 2 hours, which is pretty good, better than average, I guess, for us. But before we get down to the meat of what you want to discuss this evening, Courtney, just a quick, did we talk about this earlier? You've been listening since 2006. We did establish that. What led you to our, not only what perhaps curiosity would have led you to the show, any number of people might have tuned in a time or two just to see what we were all about. What led you to stay for 7 years and counting?
Well, I'm afraid to be too honest about what it was that originally attracted me to the website. It was, I'll be honest. It was a picture of James. I was like, oh, a young guy in the movement, and yeah, he was attractive. It was a link on American Renaissance, and I started back then. It was in 2006. Back then, they had different schedules for their show. Like I think they had like 3 nights a week or something like that. But I would tune in every now and then, and it was because I just kept seeing this link on American Renaissance, and then I opened it up, and I was like, oh, a young guy, that's attractive. Okay, well, you know, and that just kind of led me to listen to the show, and it was a very good show, very intelligent men, and so that's very important, too, and I think, I'm trying to remember, I think it was in 2008 that I started listening more heavily. It was right after Obama got elected, and there was just one night like towards the end of 2008, early 2009, when James Edwards had Pat Buchanan on and then Jared Taylor, and it was just very inspirational, talking about the future of our country, like a lot of positive things, like how this could wake people up and what we need to do. I was just very inspired, and I think from then on out, they started having it every Saturday night, and so I started listening religiously, and I think it was in spring of 2010, that was the first time that I actually called or send an email to the show, and then fall or winter of, or it was the end of 2010 that I called in for the first time and met the gang, and then I've seen them at conferences ever since, and then now here I am again. So I've been listening very religiously. So here, I'm going to give it back to James.
A mutual admiration society we have tonight in the studio, I think it's safe to say. And I'm going to have to send Jared a thank you card, you know, because it wasn't just Courtney and presumably countless others that have come to know this show as a result of the promotion that American Renaissance has given us. But Peter Scoop Stanton, one of our staff members, in fact, you know, the international correspondent at the time when he first joined our team, and now he's our DC contributor, Peter Scoop Stanton, first came to know of this show just like Courtney from the promotion we were receiving on the American Renaissance website. So it's an incestuous group we have here with one hand washing the other. Incestuous perhaps isn't the right adjective, but we do cross-pollinate, I think, those few organizations that deal with race realism, the Council of Conservative Citizens. If I start naming them, I'll forget some and I'll be embarrassed. Obviously, AMRIN, and there are some others. The political cesspool, of course, being there at the top. But, you know, there is a sense of solidarity, I think, is probably the best and most accurate way to describe it. And we stick together, and there's good people out here. And it really is a brotherhood, a familial bond with both our brothers and, in this case, our sisters, who subscribe to the same right thinking. And that's the way we should always present it, as right thinking philosophy. And, folks, I'm telling you, it continues to get bigger and better. You know, we're about to embrace an opportunity this week that's going to get word of the political cesspool to millions of new listeners by the time this television show comes out in January, prime time. So I'll be going up to film my part here in a couple of days, and very, very excited to be a part of that, excited to have been chosen to speak on some very important issues by a very big budget program. So more to come. Can't give you more than that now, but it's exciting. All right, so we're going to be talking about Southern cuisine for the remainder of the hour. And Courtney has some interesting thoughts and anecdotes, I guess, to share. And I'm not exaggerating, folks. This young lady has been meticulously preparing and planning her remarks since at least 4 o'clock this afternoon. I've never seen anything like it. I'm like Larry King. I come in here, I don't even know what we're talking about, and I just sit down in the chair and it just happens. But I remember, and I was sharing this with Courtney and Keith before the show started tonight, I do remember the very first show I ever hosted, October 26, 2004. The very first show was me and Austin Farley, the original co-founder of the show. And we were the only two in the studio. I did not say a word on that show that was not written down on paper. I wrote out every single word that I said on paper just because I wanted it to be perfect, right? It was my first time on radio. I just thought that's the way it had to be. Did not say a word on air that night that was not scripted. You know, and I wrote it. I mean, so it was my words. I mean, I wasn't just reading something that someone else's thoughts. I mean, it was what I wanted to convey, but it was just, I had to make sure I had everything collected and presented properly. And then, of course, now it's the exact opposite. I don't even know what we're talking about, and I just come in here and do the show. But it's a breath of fresh air. Did I hear somebody say that across the room, Eddie? But it's fun to have this, you know. Obviously, after 9 years, if you don't get the hang of doing something, I guess something's wrong with you. And so after 9 years and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows and thousands probably of broadcast hours, I guess this radio thing's taken to me a little bit, and so not so much preparation goes in. If we have a super big guest, you know, I'll jot down a few questions in advance. But anyway, we're going to get off of that and back to Courtney, the star of tonight's show, talking about Southern cuisine. Why are we talking about Southern cuisine? Well, we'll have to ask her. Why is that a topic of conversation tonight? We'll find out. The best is yet to come, folks. Stay tuned.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S., and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to
God
tonight.
Bobby Love. Love. Bobby Love. I buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love.
You know, Courtney from Alabama is a child of the 80s, as am I. I'm a little bit older than her, but there was actually a movie that came out with the one Patrick Dempsey before he was the well-known Patrick Dempsey of Grey's Anatomy. You remember the movie Can't Buy Me Love?
Yes,
Can't Buy Me Love. That was a movie that I watched growing up, and pretty good. Pretty good movie, but he could buy her love in that movie, and he did. But then they found out that there was really something there. Good movie. Good movie. Can't Buy Me Love. Well, you know, we were listening in the green room earlier tonight. I put in the studio in honor of our visiting guest who drove 9 hours one way just to be here with us tonight for 3 hours. The Please Please Me album by the Beatles. Really a lot of good selections on there. Some of the songs well-known. Some of the songs not as much, but equally good. Just on this one album you have, I Saw Her Standing There. Please Please Me, of course, the name of the album, title track. P.S. I Love You, great song. Do You Want to Know a Secret, great song. Of course, Twist and Shout, another 80s movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, quite prominently featured that song. A lot of good stuff from the Beatles in the early 60s, early to mid-60s, before, again, they became social revolutionaries and much more famous. Anyway, yeah, right, that's right. We have one man here who lived through it, and it's not either of us on the air right now. It's Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who is still here. He's not mic'd up, but he's still here and still reveling. All right, we got to get down to it. She spent far too much time preparing for this for us to intrude any more on her time. Courtney, what are we talking about? What's the feature focus of the third hour, and why?
Okay, well, Eddie kind of touched on it a little bit. But basically, usually when I come to Memphis, this is my second time, I usually bring some sort of a baked good. And I thought tonight I would bring something that's distinctly Southern. I brought Mississippi mud pie. And the South is known for its pies. I'm pretty good at making pies, actually, not to brag too much. But it just it just kind of reminded me just like music and sports and food, like anything that's good about the South and unique about our traditions down here, have you noticed that anything that's good about us down here is associated with Black people? And I was trying to mention this to Keith when we were out eating earlier, but I didn't want to say it too loud. I was kind of beating around the bush, but I think he understood what I meant. But it's attributed to Black people or the Native American culture or Yankee transplants. And so much of that is not true. Like, especially like the topic of food, when people think of Southern cuisine, they think of fattening food, fried food, sweet drinks and stuff. And they pretty much associate it with something you would get at Popeyes or Waffle House. And a lot of that, the ideas for that, a lot of that came from Southern food. But at the same time, that's not all it is. And it has a very rich tradition. It comes from Europe originally. It does not come from the African-American community. And in the South, we have a very... I take pride in being a Southerner. I mean, we're like the last region that has a distinct identity, and I'm not ashamed to say that, and I'm going to say it. We have a distinct identity. Nobody else does. I'm sorry, nobody else does. And, you know, we can trace our lineage back to the colonial period for the most part. Our food down here, a lot of it, I mean, it does not come from African Americans. Most of it comes from our English, Scottish, Irish heritage. We do have a lot of, people don't think of this a lot outside of Louisiana, but we have a lot of French and Spanish heritage too. Southern Alabama was originally part of, under Spain's control. People don't think of that. And Southern Alabama, Mobile, Alabama is the first place to start Mardi Gras. And most people don't know that. It was not New Orleans. And so, a lot of interesting old cultures here that have been here since the beginning. If you go further up, like around Kentucky and Virginia, there is some German influence a little bit. And then finally, lastly, you know, maybe there's some that can be attributed to Native American and Black or African American culture, but not as much as they make it out to be. I mean, it's just interesting that anything good down here is associated with those two cultures. Anything bad is associated with white people, the native white people down here, not transplants. So anyways, I mean, just like our dialect down here. I mean, I had a college professor, a Yankee college professor down here who told the class that our accents came from Black Americans. And it was because, you know, the white children during a certain point in time grew up in homes with Black maids. But how many homes actually had Black maids in the house? I mean, it was only a small percent. And just like with that, there's so many things so many things good about our culture that did not come from Black people. It came from our heritage and where we came from in Europe, the Scotch, Irish, English heritage. And just like with the dialect, there's different regions attributed to our food culture down here. We have the Tidewater culture that's affiliated with Virginia, Appalachians further inland into Virginia, Western Virginia, Kentucky, Cajun and Creole, as everybody knows, Louisiana, and that's influenced Lower Mississippi and Alabama to a degree. The Low Country, that's a lot of the coastal regions, Georgia, South Carolina, and then Floridian is its own culture, and then of course the Gulf Coast, which I'm very familiar with, but just like with our dialects, we have a lot of different regions that we have localized traditions in each of our regions, just like with our southern dialects. And we've influenced other types of cuisines in other parts of the country too. a lot of dishes that have squash, tomatoes, corn, you know, grits come from corn. Deep pit barbecuing. Barbecuing is something you find all over the country, all over the world, actually. But deep pit barbecuing specifically came from the South. Just a lot of traditional Southern meals that we have down here that I'm just going to run through real quickly, like pan-fried meals, field peas, collard greens, turnip greens, poke salad. Mashed potatoes was listed. I'm not sure about that. I didn't think mashed potatoes was native to the South. Cornbread, lots of soups, country ham, hush puppies. I love hush puppies. Succotash, chicken fried steak, pimento cheese, boiled and baked sweet potatoes. A lot of dishes with sweet potatoes, actually. Ribs, I think... I think ribs mostly comes from the western south, like Oklahoma, Texas. Fried catfish, I'm very familiar with that. Fried green tomatoes, okra, I like okra. Butter beans, I have an aunt that makes delicious butter beans. Pinto beans, black-eyed peas, fried chicken. People think of fried chicken as coming from the black community. It has not. It does not come from the black community. The Scotch-Irish did a lot of frying, and that's where it comes from. I mean, and that's the largest white group in the South right now. Virginia ham, stuffed ham, whole hog barbecue, green beans. When people flavor their green beans with bacon and salt pork, that's Southern. Red-eye gravy, country gravy, chicken and dumplings, gumbo, all sorts of pies, like any sort of cream-based pie that you can think of came from the South. The fruit-based pies, that's more of a toss-up, like cream-based pies, and pecan pie is not cream-based, but that's a pie that originated down here. Again, that comes from our roots in the British Isles, mostly. Desserts like that. Bread pudding, which is very popular in England, is very popular down here, too. Let's see, what was the next point I was going to make? A lot of breakfast foods that people don't think about, like the full-fledged breakfast, came from the South. Biscuits and gravy, grits, and like all sorts of stuff, all sorts of. But I'll touch on that more in a minute.
We're getting hungry in here. I got Eddie's drooling over here. He's salivating at the thought of that country fried steak and hush puppies and fried catfish. We're going to take a break and put in our order with Chef Courtney, and we'll be back right after this.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Beautiful song by the Fab Four from their early years. I think I just actually mentioned that song from the Please Please Me album, which is still playing on repeat in the green room up a little bit down the hall here at the studio. That song was actually in stereo, so you only got half of it, I'm understanding. But it still sounded good. I mean, I knew what was going on. Anyway, you know, if there's any other Epcot aficionados out there, and you know, if there's one thing I love nearly as much as Frankie Valli, it's Epcot in Orlando. And they have in the World Showcase in the United Kingdom exhibition a group that comes out called the British Invasion. It's a cover band that plays nothing but the British Invasion stuff, obviously prominently the Beatles stuff. That song there took me back to an experience I had at Epcot. Good times. Good times. It rivals only the good times that I have here in the studios of the Political Cesspool. And, you know, I am James Edwards, and I take a lot of pride in that. I could be a lot of things. I could be, you know, I could have whored out, and I would have probably been a state representative by now. But I'm the host of the Political Cesspool, and it's a show that I founded. And so there's pride of authorship there, and everything we've accomplished has been done together. With working cooperation and partnership with the audience and certainly Sam Bushman and a few others that have just played key and integral roles in the development and evolution of this show. But to be the founding host of this show is something that can never be taken away. And I, for one, hope and expect that we will be here for years to come and that bigger and better things are in our future and the best is still ahead of us. But I tell you what, folks, I don't know how I got from the British Invasion at Epcot to there, but it's exciting to be here with you tonight. It's exciting to be with Courtney from Alabama, as well as Eddie and Keith, who have contributed to tonight's program as well. But we're talking about Southern cuisine. That's the topic of the hour, and pretty informative stuff. Where do we go from here, Courtney?
Well, I appreciate James letting me spend an whole hour talking about this, but and the Beatles. There's some comments on the Beatles in there, too. So, yeah, I just got done talking about the breakfast, like just the full-fledged breakfast. Like, I've talked to people from up north, and they, you know, they don't really make a big deal about breakfast. It's like a little thing of oatmeal or grapefruit or something like that. But a lot of, like, the really full hearty breakfast foods that you eat actually came from the South, from British roots mostly. I guess we're the region that retained that the most. But to go into some different regions, like Southern Louisiana, that's where you have the Cajun and Creole culture. A lot of people don't think of this, but like from South Carolina to along the coast all the way to Louisiana, there was a huge rice culture to feed. There was a lot of growing of rice to feed large families at one time. And it's a good filler, just like the reason why they use it in East Asia. So that's why when you eat a gumbo dish, you put rice in it. That's where a lot of that comes from. But they also had the benefit of having coastal seafood, corn, okra. And then if you go into certain parts of Louisiana, specifically New Orleans, they retain more of their connections with Spain and France, and so it's more of a culinary cuisine in those areas. But anyways, again, South Carolina, I'm getting into the low country regions now, South Carolina, Virginia, Georgia. South Carolina, again, a huge rice producer. They have a a dish, black-eyed peas flavored with salt pork, called Hoppin' John and Charleston Red Rice. Those are unique to that area. Barbecue. Each region of the South has its own types of barbecue. I can have barbecue sauce in Alabama. It tastes completely different from barbecue sauce in North Carolina. All good, though. there are certain sauces that are vinegar-based. Others are more honey-based. But everywhere I go, it's always delicious. Arkansas is the top rice-producing state in the country. I mean, I know it's not one of those coastal states I just mentioned, but it's the top rice-producing state of the country. They produce a lot of sweet corn. Virginia is known for Smithfield ham. I kind of threw Arkansas in there. It's not one of the considered one of the low countries, but Georgia, I mean, everybody knows, known for peaches, pecans, peanuts, and Vidalia onions. Anyways, going kind of into the western South, Oklahoma is known for cornbread. Cornbread's a big, that originated in the South. Cornbread and beans is a big Oklahoma dish. Biscuits and gravy, that's one of those breakfast foods that came from the South. Let's see, Tennessee is known for country ham, and then they have famous barbecue restaurants in Memphis. I've experienced some of those every time. Yeah, we went to a kind of a hole-in-the-wall place today in Memphis. Keith took me there, and it was some of the best barbecue I've ever had, and they put the coleslaw right on the barbecue sandwich, which is the way to do it, and the best baked beans I've ever had. Fried apple pie. I mean, just delicious. And so, and the last time I came here, what was that restaurant y'all took me to? With the ribs and, very famous
Rendezvous.
That was delicious. Very delicious. Let's see. What else am I looking at here? Let's see. Okay, so if you go down to Mississippi, they're known for farm-raised catfish. I've had a lot of that in Alabama. Very, very delicious, and you always have hush puppies with that. Let's see. Maryland, I think I kind of consider Maryland a border state. I don't know if this is really uniquely Southern, but, you know, they're known for their blue crabs. That's not really something I consider unique to the South. But anyways, Florida is known for its key lime pie. That's another pie I like to make. Cream-based, again. Swamp cabbage. I haven't had that before, I don't think. okay, going up into, like, Kentucky and the Appalachian area, Kentucky's known for beer cheese, burgoo, which is a spicy stew served with cornbread. In the Appalachian regions, they were kind of isolated, so they had to depend on stuff produced locally. They didn't have the benefit of the Gulf states where you had all the seafood coming in. I mean, I've been spoiled by seafood being from Alabama, but in the Appalachian region, they depend on pigs and chickens. Smokehouses were very common, hams, bacon, sausages, venison, and then a lot of hunting, wild game, venison, squirrel, buttermilk biscuits with sorghum and honey. I've eaten biscuits with sorghum. It's really good. That's another breakfast meal. You can get that at Cracker Barrel. Really good. Some other regional divisions, the Upper South, to get more simplistic, the Upper South has a lot of, it's mainly known for pork, sorghum, whiskey. Those are its main three unique products. Low Country, which I'm more familiar with, being from Alabama, a lot of seafood, rice, and grits. And when people think of grits, they think of just like a boring breakfast food, but you can have it at dinner time, flavored, any sort of flavor, and you can eat it with shrimp and fried fish, and it is so, it's one of the most delicious meals you could ever have. Western parts of the South are mostly known for beef, eastern part depend on pork mostly. Well, I mean, that's like my main thoughts. I just wanted to kind of give an idea of like just how diverse Southern food really is, and where it came from. What did he just say? where it came from. I mean, I think I covered just about everything. Just so many different types of pies and so many breakfast foods and so many other types of meals that I've gone through that we just take for granted. It's not just quote unquote soul food. And, you know, I'm going to hand the mic over to James now.
Listen, if you weren't hungry before the show started, you gotta be by now, because she just reeled off some of my favorite dishes. Anything that wasn't green, because I've never eaten a vegetable or a fruit. But some of the stuff she mentioned is just stuff that just really, really gets me going in a big way. Now, Courtney, this is the question that must be asked, and it begs to be asked. Why this, of all the subjects, you drove 9 hours to be here for 3 hours, and then you're driving 9 hours back. So that's an 18-hour round trip for 3 hours of play this evening. Why, of all the things, is Southern cuisine... Oh, don't ask for whom the music plays. It plays for us. We'll ask that question and get it answered when we return. But first, a little Frankie Valli. The best band of the 60s, the Four Seasons, and here they are.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we've had a lot of Beatles infused in tonight's broadcast as a result of our esteemed guest and dignified guest this evening, the lady, Courtney from Alabama. But we ended with some Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, number one. Look at me there sporting those sweatpants, T-shirt tucked into the sweatpants. Only I could pull off that look. There's Frankie Valli there with me. I can't even count as many times as I've met Frankie now, but and he just gets better with age, just like me. But this is your last chance, gang. Last chance. There's only 2 days left. Quick announcement. 2 days left only for you to take advantage of our incentive offers. The third quarter fundraising drive of the Political Cesspool 2013. Contribute tonight and help keep our incredible show going strong. I'm telling you, between now and November, folks, we are going to trod and plow new ground, the likes of which, even after all these years, we have not yet done. The best days are ahead of us, folks, and we've got a great team here. Me, Eddie Keith, obviously Sam Bushman, and Winston Smith from afar. Art Frith, who, even though retired, still helps with some of the production work. And the audience, most importantly of all. We are poised to do great things in the coming months, in the very near future. But it all rests upon your loyal support. Contribute tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Only 2 days left to contribute to and respond to the third quarter fundraising drive. So many people from around the world. You know, it just staggers me to know the locations from which the contributors hail. And it would impress you as well, folks. It is a diverse audience in the best meaning of the word. People from all over the world tune into this show. It is amazing. The heights to which we've risen, but it will pale in comparison to where we will be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, if current trends persist and the ascension continues. We have come a long, long way from our humble beginnings. And Eddie, you were there. I know Eddie hasn't been on the mic this hour. He's setting off. We got Courtney mic'd up and the headset's on, but you were there in the early days, as you like to say, when 50 people were listening to the show in 2004 and 2005. It was probably more than that, but not nearly as many as are listening now, and that's for sure. Help us out, folks. Last chance. 2 days left to respond to the quarterly fundraising drive. $100 or more entitles you to the incentives. And don't forget that a percentage of everything we receive will kick back to the Liberty News Radio Network, the network that syndicates us to an audience responsible for getting us to... again, where we are today. So, listen, we're all in this together, folks. It's a team effort. All right, Courtney, only 10 minutes left. I guess I should ask you now, a very fine presentation. I guess there is something to be said, Eddie, for preparation before a radio interview. I mean, that just goes to show how good you can be with a little homework and a little study in advance of your delivery. We should probably go back to the basics, and then we will be as good as Courtney. Courtney showed us up tonight. She certainly showed you up tonight, Eddie. Well, anyway, two questions, Courtney. Well, I'll ask the first one, and then I'll ask you the second. First of all, did the experience tonight warrant the hours you put in on the road?
Yes, I think so. I can give a definitive yes for that. Eddie, that's okay. Eddie gave a colorful description earlier, but that's okay. That's okay. I mean, I'll let them have fun with that. But it's all in fun. I like these guys. They're gentlemen. So it's always worth the trip. It's definitely always worth the trip. So I think does that answer your question?
To call us gentlemen is certainly a stretch of the definition, but we will take it. We will take it. I'm glad that it warranted the trip. But listen, I mean, Eddie, come on. We were talking earlier about our dear friend, one of the most generous contributors of the show, to say the very least. And I don't want to embarrass him, but a man from Canada, an inspiration to us for sure, flew from Western Canada to be with us. When was that? About a year ago this time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And now Courtney has driven nearly as long as he had to fly. To be here. We have an audience that is second to none. The sacrifice of themselves for our benefit, or for the benefit of the cause that we all share, is a better way of putting it. But I really enjoyed, and in all seriousness, very much enjoyed the education that I received on Southern cuisine. Now, listen, I'm a noble. No, I take that back. I'm not noble, but I am a son of the South. I am a son of the South. I'm a proud son of the South. Noble can be debated, but proud cannot. A proud son of the South and a proud eater of Southern food, and I received an education on the cuisine of our people tonight as a result of Courtney's studious delivery. So, Courtney, we have, oh my goodness, the show has gone by far too quickly. Can you stay for another week and we can do this again 7 days from now? We only have a couple of minutes left. Where do we end up tonight? Why did you want to, of all the things you could have talked about, you could have spoken on, why did you want to talk about Southern food?
Okay, I'm going to jump right into it and be frank. I'm proud of my heritage, and I think that's one part of Southern culture that maybe, like a feminine perspective, can give a little bit more expertise on, if I can use that word without being arrogant. But it's just one of the areas where the South is misconstrued. Anything good about us is associated with blacks, and it's just so not true. It mostly comes from our Scotch-Irish ancestry, mostly. That's mostly where a lot of good things about us come from. It comes from the white people down here. It doesn't come from transplants. It doesn't come from blacks. It doesn't come from the Native Americans. It comes from the white people that originally settled down here. And another thing I'm going to say, and I think James is too modest to say it, but so every now and then I hear people complain, I've heard this at conferences, I see it on the website, the political cesspool is just too Southern biased. And, number one, I don't really think that's true. I think James is very polite about incorporating, while still being proud of his heritage, as he should, incorporating everybody into his audience. But, number two, If I can say this frankly, if you're from up north and you want to see more northern bias websites, then start your own websites. that's what I'm gonna say about that. So, Eddie's saying something. I'm sorry. Maybe I should give him the microphone. But I wasn't trying to be mean, but I'm trying to be like Scarlett O'Hara, and I'm going to step in and say something that I think sometimes, maybe the men are too humble to say. And, they are gentlemen, and they don't want to come across as too harsh at times, but it's true. And I think we're fully entitled to be proud of our heritage. And if somebody else wants to come on and talk about their cuisine from their part of the country, I'd be very happy to hear. But tonight, this is who I am, so this is what I talked about. So I'm proud to be from the South, Sweet Home Alabama.
Amen. There you go. We should have played that song. That song should have been substituted for one of the Beatles ditties. But in all seriousness, folks, I think Courtney, beyond a shadow of a doubt, has proven her intellectual capacity in addition to everything that Eddie was talking about earlier. She has both. But in agreement with what she's saying, and I know Eddie would second this notion, we here in the political cesspool, and this goes for Keith and Winston and our dearly departed Bill Rowland, we're Southerners first and Americans second. And that is it, because, listen. The first and foremost prerequisite for nationhood is to have a culture separate than that of your surroundings. And the South, still as watered down as it is now compared to what it once was, the South still has a distinct culture, which is number one when it comes to things you need to have an independent nation. That and much, much more. And our cuisine we focused on tonight, but the South, listen, I am a Southerner first. Oh my goodness, Sam is on top of his game tonight. Let's go out with this. On behalf of Courtney from Alabama, our esteemed guest, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. Donate tonight, folks. 2 days left. Be a part of a winning team. Let's listen to this song all the way through. We'll be back next week. God bless y'all. We'll be right back.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.